Greetings from the studio. After a long week and a long month of production here at the Bob Davis Podcasts, I am live from the studio getting ready to post the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show number 33 for this week. This is the 4th of July weekend, so happy July. It's July 1st in podcast time, and what a great month June was. So I'm going to post the Bob Davis Podcast radio show for this week, and I'm going to start, before I roll the show, I just want to remind everybody that I have decided to do something called the Bob Davis Podcasts newsletter, which is going to be called the Bob Line. So if you want to sign up for the newsletter, go to thebobdavispodcast.com. Just on the right side of the page, below, just below the top, is a thing that says Bob Davis Bob Line newsletter sign up. I need to get people to sign up because I can't just mass email stuff to my email list. You have to give me permission to send you this this newsletter, which will be in magazine-type format. There's a lot of stuff that's just not getting into the podcast and the radio show that occur to me on a day-to-day basis, and I think a monthly newsletter is called for, pictures and things like that. So really appreciate it if you'd sign up for the newsletter. And we're going to do stuff with the newsletter later on. You know, I think I'm going to do some events and of my own, since no one will have me speak because I upset people. So I'm going to do some events of my own and so forth. And I need to get my list up and running. So welcome to the Bob Davis Podcast radio show post here on the Bob Davis Podcasts. We're going to start with segment one of this week's show, the Bob Davis Podcast radio show number 33. Here we go. Welcome to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. For all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Yeah, as I said, welcome back. Well, we're in the middle of what is, in my opinion, the best holiday of the entire year in the United States, probably the world. That is the 4th of July. For me, even the sound of it, the 4th of July makes me happy. Why? Well, it's summer. It's summer. There will be parades. There will be fireworks. There will be barbecues, potlucks, boat trips, volleyball, softball games, soccer games, and at the very least, a lot of sitting around enjoying friends and family. You can excise the soccer game comment because it's not really American. So no, there won't be any soccer games on the 4th of July. What is not to like about the 4th of July? Well, on top of it all, we're celebrating a truly unique historic event, the Colonial Declaration of Independence in what later became the United States, and one of the greatest political documents of all time, the Declaration of Independence. Now, I will not be giving you a 4th of July history lesson, so calm down. I will not be quoting from Thomas Jefferson and John Adams. I am not going to create a freedom catechism that I will say that all Americans must know. I will not participate in fueling the scolds who want to turn even the 4th of July into some kind of secular religious holiday that you're supposed to know all the right answers to all the right questions. By all means, celebrate your independence in just about any way that you choose. Pay homage to anyone that you want. Just make sure that you display the flag of the United States properly and be careful with fireworks. And make sure that you have brats, especially the ones that have the cheese inside and fresh hamburger buns and, in my case, plenty of coffee on hand and watermelon. Actually, if you're from the upper Midwest, just the fact that it's summer is enough of a cause for an almost religious celebration because those of us from the upper Midwest know that summer itself will be fading soon enough, although I really should not mention that now, but there I have. So this has been a tough week with fallout from the British Declaration of Independence from the EU, an attack on the Istanbul Turkey airport, and continuing political hijinks. First of all, I'm going to have to give the political stuff a break for one more week, partially because I think the big political stuff is going to start breaking once we get close to the conventions for the mainline political parties, and partly because I am both repulsed and also sick of the political nonsense going on in this country. Suffice it to say that the pundits haven't stopped predicting the future. The talk show advocates haven't stopped giving you their own exclusive version of events, which may or may not differ from actual events. And it's getting more and more difficult to get the full story, or actually even to be able to read between the lines and suss out what the real story is. It's really hard to tell what's going on right now. Now, as I said, the number one international story this week after the Istanbul attack, of course, is the British exit from the EU. Remain advocates and a traumatized media continued to predict all sorts of dire consequences for the UK, the rest of Europe, and indeed the world, if Britain actually does exit the Eurozone. So in this show, I'm going to take hopefully a more balanced look at what may or may not happen as the result of the so-called Brexit. And I'm going to take a few shots at the so-called status quo and the fact that people are just freaking out over this story across the world. As you know, this is the radio show that brings content from my podcast back to the radio. And I did, a lot of content in this week's podcasts about the Brexit because we're still consolidating what we know about it and its effects. So in spite of the freakout, markets and currencies have begun to recover, as I predicted, as buying opportunities begin to emerge, and some of the smart people are beginning to ask the pertinent questions about the competency of the Eurozone leaders. And I think competency of the Eurozone leaders is really what it's all about. And my own personal feeling about it is if the Eurozone can't take care of the problems, then why do we have the Eurozone? And is the Eurozone necessary in a world where you can move money at the click of a button? So we'll talk about some of that stuff in this show. So when you take into account the day-to-day news and how it's reported, the events we're watching unfold on an almost day-to-day basis in politics, international news, business, and reporting with these terror attacks, as well as a cavalcade of strange quotes, policy announcements, and rants by the Obama administration, and you combine that with the realization that we are weeks away from 24-hour coverage of two national political conventions, it does certainly feel like something is about to happen. So at the end of this show, I'm going to devote some time discussing something known as a black swan event. And I'm going to explain what a black swan event is, but it's a feeling that I have that I really can't seem to shake, that I've had for actually quite some time. It's a feeling that and I've done podcasts about it, I've talked about it on the radio, I've talked about it in this show. It's a feeling that we're nearing one of those historic moments in history. I call them historic waypoints. Points that once passed, everybody later says, hey, do you remember the summer of 2016 before everything changed? So it's called a black swan event because it is truly unpredictable, although afterwards people are going to say that, sure, yeah, they knew it was going to happen, but no, they didn't. Well, that's what it feels like to me right now in the world, and it's very hard to put your finger on it. I'm going to make an attempt in the last segment of this show, and I'm not going to tell you, I don't want to list a whole bunch of reasons for why I think something is going to happen, because that causes it to kind of slip through your fingers, and I talk about that in this last segment, that you can't really define a black swan event, because it's one of those things that's just seemingly unpredictable. So I'm going to talk about that. And I think it's kind of fun to talk about that because there's so much reporting right now that's going back and forth with this one said this and that one said this and this poll shows this and this person believes this and so-and-so, you know, Loretta Lynch met with the Clintons on the runway and what does it mean? And, you know, Donald Trump said this and the Republic, Mike, you know, Senator Mike Lee said that. And there's a lot of that. I can't keep up with it, and I don't know that I want to keep up with it. And especially during the summer, you know, my mind starts to wander, and I just start to think about these things that could happen, or this feeling, you know, just sort of the feeling deep inside that we are nearing the end of a certain point in history. You know that I take a close look and follow technology very closely, and I certainly could give you a lot of reasons for why I think we're headed for some defining event. I look at technology, I know history, and of course, you know, I'm way up on the news all the time, but this isn't anything that I could point to specifically and say, this is what I think is going to happen. This is just more of a general feeling about what I think is going to happen. So we're going to talk about that in this show, and it's fun to talk about it. So we'll get into it on this 4th of July weekend for the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. So again, this feeling and this kind of impressions of what's going on in the world is one of the reasons I'm actually very excited about firing up the grill and hanging out with friends and joking and laughing and drinking coffee, which is what I'll be drinking, or shooting off some fireworks and enjoying the 4th of July weekend. Coming up, the media seems to have lost its mind over the British vote to exit the Eurozone. Next. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. For more of the podcast, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. Welcome back from the studio. So I had Mobile Podcast Command up to the mechanics. I had it in the hangar to get some things addressed, front end stuff. You know, it's so funny because it was running kind of rough, and I was like, "This is, you know, not the engine, but it was just felt rough. It felt to me like it was actually metal to metal as I was driving, and I mean, I'm driving all over the country, right?" So I take it to the mechanic, and I go, you know, there's some issues with the front end. We need to get that checked. And I went back over there. They called me up. I went back over there. The shocks, now remember, this thing is 16 years old. So the shocks had rusted to the point where they were literally frozen solid. So it's got new shocks. It's got a new tie rod on one side. Probably should get the other side done at some point. And eventually, we're going to have to do shocks and springs in the back because this is a big, heavy vehicle. We're talking about Mobile Podcast Command, a Ford Super Duty 450 diesel ambulance, which I have been driving all over the country, and for which plans for travel this summer are stacking up like planes landing at O'Hare. And I need donations to go to the conventions, to go to the EAA air show, also for Burning Man and Sturgis for sure, and other stuff that I want to do. So make your donations to the Bob Davis Podcast Mobile Podcast Command by scrolling past the newsletter. Sign up at thebobdavispodcast.com, and you'll see the picture of Mobile Podcast Command, and you can make a donation through PayPal. And it doesn't matter whether it's 5 or 10 or 20 or 1 or 1,000. I really, really appreciate your donations, and I appreciate your donations when I get out on the road, too. So thanks again for that. But while I was at the place, they gave me a loaner. I go up to AutoStar in Maple Grove, I think, and I was they gave me a loaner, which was really cool. It wasn't that big of a deal. It was an old, you know, Grand Prix. But I went and bought coffee yesterday. And I realized this morning when I got up, I'd left the coffee in the car. So I just got back from Starbucks. This is my coffee that I got. I got some Verona, and I got some Komodo Dragon coffee, which I, in bean form, which I then combine. So this is what I drink on the road when I'm rolling in Mobile Podcast Command. All right, I've talked enough. Here's segment two of this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, which is heard at 4 p.m. in Minneapolis and St. Paul on AM 1280, The Patriot. So here is segment two. You're hearing the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. To hear more of the Bob Davis Podcast, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. For more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. While the United States celebrates its independence this weekend, the so-called mother country, Great Britain, declared its own independence from something called the European Union this week. Oddly enough, the European Union's reaction is very much like a historic monarch's reaction to the U.S. Declaration of Independence. First shock, then pure anger. They've come unhinged over the Brexit. The Remain people in England, at least according to the reports that I've seen, are really upset, and they're writing things that are really just nasty, calling people who made speeches in favor of leave, hateful, and this is a hateful situation and so forth. But it's interesting because if you actually look at what is going on, and this is why I want to talk this out as opposed to having written script and even outlining it, because when I talk it out a little bit, I think it's time to do that. I think that when I do that, then I can sort of follow whatever thoughts come into my mind about this. But I don't think people realize the situation that the European Union is in on a lot of levels, that they have put this on the people who voted to leave as though they are rubes at best, and at worst, they're just horrible, hateful people who just don't like anyone but people who look like them, and on and on and on. Which I find to be hysterical, and I don't mean funny. I think they're just being hysterical about it. You know, the European Union has a big problem, in my view, and I said this from the beginning, and I remember taking crap from people saying it at the very beginning of it. I said, you know, what are they trying to do? Well, they're trying to create a federal system, and they're trying to have what the United States has, and it's going to be a good thing because people are going to get together, and they're going to be able to go from country to country without going through borders, and, you know, it's going to be great. And the idea was, a single Eurozone currency. And I remember saying at the time, well, they're doing that, but they're not doing it by creating a representative government. They're not creating a representative federal government with a representative constitution that guarantees rights and so forth. And I remember, don't you remember the big fight over, and, you know, some younger people will not remember it, but I do, the ridiculous Euro constitution that there was a discussion about. I mean, the whole reason for a European project came at the close of World War II, when Europeans in particular wanted to avoid another situation as developed after World War II. After World War I, which caused World War II. And that was, you know, different countries and different power centers and different, their feeling was if France and Germany in particular could get together, create a common market, then it would increase the chances of peace and trade. That's basically the idea. And it spread into this European project of creating a federation of states of Europe, the United States of Europe. You may recall those words were actually used. And then when the currency came into being, everybody was nervous. And, I remember saying, this is not going to end well. And my friends were like, it's going to be bigger than the dollar. And it was for a while bigger than the dollar. But Europe has some economic problems that are not being addressed, and I think I would quote none other than Alan Greenspan, who certainly isn't any libertarian type. A lot of people think Alan Greenspan caused most of the problems that we deal with economically because of his leadership at the Fed. But Alan Greenspan, he said, there's nothing like it, including the crisis of October 19th, 1987, when the Dow went by a record of amount, something like 23%. And I thought that was the bottom of all potential problems. This has a corrosive effect that will not go away. Now, most of that was quoted worldwide. Oh, well, Alan Greenspan thinks it's terrible. The former Fed chairman said that the root of the British problem is far more widespread. He said the result of the referendum will almost surely lead to the Scots trying to get out and resurrect the Scottish independence effort. But then he said that the euro currency is the immediate problem. While the euro and the eurozone were major steps in a movement toward European political integration, it's failing. And then he said, Brexit is not the end of a set of problems, which I always thought were going to start with the euro, because the euro is in a very serious problem in that the southern part of the eurozone is being funded by the northern part and the European Central Bank, said Greenspan, which is literally the problem. So you have the UK, France, and particularly Germany funding governments which have spent themselves into the poorhouse in Italy and Spain and Greece in particular. And what systems, what kinds of economic policies led to that? Well, for lack of a better term, it was socialist ideas about economics. They very large welfare institutions in Italy and Greece and Spain, very much government intervention and very much a lot of borrowing by governments to continue to maintain the pension state and the pensions of government workers and the jobs of government workers, while at the same time trying to ameliorate all the problems that individuals had in the private sector and so forth and so on. And what has happened since those countries very nearly collapsed is that they have been funded in some way, shape, or form by the northern part of Europe. And the euro is struggling as partially as a result of that. But then the ECB, the European Central Bank, has also engaged in something called negative interest rates. So you have worldwide very slow economic growth. You have central banks all over the world trying to intervene by either 0% interest rates or near 0% interest rates, as in the case of the United States. And you have companies not really making a lot of money. You have the eurozone not really growing that fast, and you have countries like Britain struggling because of that. But in addition to that, struggling because of increasing regulations. There's lots of components to this that suggest that the eurozone and the euro, the European, experiment, the Euro Federation, wasn't being very well run. And I think it leads back to the primary problem with the eurozone, which is that they do not have a representative federal government, and they do not have a federal government that has been agreed upon constitutionally by the member states. The other thing that was written, and I'm jumping around a lot, but another one of the things that was written was, it's difficult to be the first person to leave the party. But it gets easier as each person begins to leave the party. So Britain may be the first. They most certainly will not be the last. Coming up, news coverage of the British exit has been biased and emotional. How about a little perspective? Next. To hear more of the Bob Davis Podcast, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. For more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast's radio show. So set Geronimo, set Geronimo, set Geronimo, set Geronimo, set Geronimo, set Geronimo, set Geronimo.
G
just ahead of segment three, live from the studio at the BobDavisPodcasts.com. Got to thank the digital sponsor, the BobDavisPodcasts.com. And this is for pilots, and I am getting ready to go to the EAA air show, which is a gas. I don't fly, but I love the air show. It's really something, and I'm super excited about it. And Alpha Systems will be exhibiting at the EAA air show. Where were you guys last time? I think you were in building three. I'm not sure, but it may have been three or one, but I'm pretty sure it was one. So if you are going to EAA and you're a pilot and you want to see Alpha Systems AOA demonstrated, just visit them at EAA. And yes, pilots want to be safe on takeoffs and landings. They want to get there, but they want to also get there safely. And Alpha Systems makes that possible with the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Basically, it is a visual indicator of your angle of attack that sits right up on the dashboard of the plane. And the bottom line is you need that visual indicator of your angle of attack when you're turning on final approach, is what I'm told. So Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. Click on the Alpha Systems banner at the top of the BobDavisPodcasts.com. It'll take you to their page. There's a video there. There's a whole bunch of things to explain exactly how it works and what it is. And, you know, there's over 100,000 commercial or non-commercial, you know, civilian pilots in this country. Not all of them really believe or understand why they need this angle of attack indicator. And those videos and that site really explains it well. And thanks, Alpha, for being the digital sponsor of the BobDavisPodcast.com. Here is segment three. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. For more of the Bob Davis Podcasts, visit the BobDavisPodcasts.com. For more of this show, visit GCNLive.com. To sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, visit the BobDavisPodcasts.com. While there are other news stories this week, the British exit vote continues to dominate news coverage, much of it literally hysterical. Let's take a step back and get some perspective on what the effects of the new British independence may be going forward. While some of the effects might be negative, some might also be positive. And then again, some institutions won't be affected at all. Now, if you listen to the mainstream media and if you listen to the political leaders in the United States and Europe, they will have you believe that we have had this incredible, we're having a fantastic, things are going very well economically, but they are not going very well economically. You know, in the United States, 95 million people remain out of the workforce. The new jobs being created are not real high quality jobs. And that is also true in the UK. France has been in a recession for a long time. They're having a Japan moment. Germany has certainly had a better time of it due to a lot of their fine exports and industry, things like printing presses and machinery, things that Germany does very well. But Europe is not growing, you know, dynamically, and neither is the United States. And this is the big secret nobody wants the average person to know. But the average person knows it because we have tightened our belts and we are living our lives on a much lower level, most of us, than we were before, in the sense that we're not, you know, using credit as much. We're not consuming as much. And this is one of the reasons when you start putting pressure on the Eurozone or countries like you did with the Syrian problem, with the refugees leaving war-torn Syria and heading into Europe. In my view, the immigration problem is just something, it's a problem, a strategic problem that put a lot of pressure on, an institution, the Eurozone, which was already in trouble to begin with. They've been in trouble with Italy. They've been in trouble with the Spain situation. They bailed out Greece. There was a big fight about that. The ECB has been struggling for 5 years now to try to address economic issues, just as the Federal Reserve in the United States. What are they trying to do? They're trying to restart the economy. They're trying to get back to economic growth, and they all are Keynesians. They all view government stimulation as a key thing, government intervention and government stimulation of the demand side, as the key way to restart the economy. So we have central banks with big balance sheets, all sorts of quantitative easing programs, basically printing money, even though the Treasury Department prints the money, but basically producing more and more money, loaning money to banks at low rates. And the money is not getting out there because there's no markets, because we're not stimulating the supply side. We're trying to get consumers to buy. And consumers are leery of buying. So I guess what I'm saying is, despite all of the intentions of these highly educated economists and so-called elitists, people are maybe smarter than we give them credit for. Yeah, you know, individually we're rubes, but maybe collectively we're a little smarter than we are thought to be, in that we know the economy is not going great. It's not the end of the world. I mean, the country is not going to hell in a handbasket, as I have said many times. But in terms of prosperity, in terms of the kind of prosperity some of us saw in the 80s, in the 90s, we're not seeing that, and we would like to know why. And I think people are beginning to say, we're going to make a change if you guys don't fix this. And that's what's going on in Europe, and it may happen in the United States. Now, having said all that, I just want to say one thing. Everybody said it was the end of the world. They're talking about the markets falling apart and what's going on and what's happening here. And you know, a couple things I didn't know. First of all, you have all the people remaining from the Remain campaign running around predicting the end of the world. That's going on. And of course, the media in the United States is covering it as though it is the end of the world. Because why? I think a lot of them have never been, they weren't adults during the time that the EU was formed. They don't remember a world without the EU. And as I said to my son, guess what? There's a lot of people in the world that are not part of the EU, the United States, you know, Switzerland, you know, countries like that, as well as countries that would never be in the EU, China, you know, countries in the Pacific and so forth. So the idea that if the EU somehow dissolves over the next 5 years because they don't address their problems, why would that be viewed as a bad thing? And in particular by the financial community? Well, a couple of things. You're going to see the markets come back because there's going to be buying opportunities. You know, as one writer put it, why the rebound? Partly because the blue chip index is made up of companies with significant international exposure, which report their earnings in dollars. And also because the head of the the Bank of England, the British Central Bank, acted quickly to reassure investors that the Bank of England was ready to step in if the sell-off became too severe. But Britain only accounts for about 14% of the world economy, if that. And the trade with Europe is about only 15, 16, 17, it's in the teens percent of Britain's GDP. So what we're talking about here is 0.5% in the world economy. That's a rounding error. So just relax until we see what happens. So there's that piece. And I think that's an important thing for people to think about, because you're going to hear a lot, especially from the media. Because why? Because the storyline is that this is a disaster. And the financial markets will adjust, and the financial markets will find other investments and other opportunities. And it remains to be seen, and it will take some years before we know whether this is a good thing for England or not. Meanwhile, there are other states which may withdraw from the EU for various other reasons. This now gives Greece, a fair reason to say, listen, this is not working out to our advantage. We're better off going it alone. Or Italy, or, you know, Spain, saying, you know, we might be able to get better terms for the debt that we have, and we might have more control over our currency and what's going on in our countries if we're able to exit the euro. So the euro project is in trouble. Now, structures like NATO, alliances like the United States and the United Kingdom, Germany and France, which we have also, trade relationships as well as defense relationships with, and other countries, countries that are in NATO, are not affected by this. NATO is not affected by anything in the EU. It's a separate treaty regime. It's a defense treaty regime. It has nothing to do with the rest of the EU. That's the first thing. The second thing is that British and American defense interests, and it could be argued that the United Kingdom is the strongest military in the EU. You know, even France doesn't hold a candle to the English ability to project, primarily because of carriers and air forces and things. And so the UK is generally considered to be the strongest ally of the United States. And Our defense arrangements with the United Kingdom are not going to be affected by their withdrawal from the EU. So with all this stuff going on, whether it's the Brexit or the terror attacks or the crazy politics in the United States, and you're reading the news, and every now and then you look up and you say, how on earth did we get here? And sometimes I think maybe the question is, what happens next? So in the next segment, live from the deck in the middle of the night at the Bob Davis Podcast's broadcast bunker, we're going to talk about that black swan event, the event that nobody can see coming. To hear more of this show, visit GCNLive.com. For more of the Bob Davis Podcast, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. And to sign up for the newsletter from the Bob Davis Podcasts called The Bob Line, you can also sign up at thebobdavispodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show.
Is there anybody out there? Is there anybody waiting? Getting sick of your surroundings. All you want is some attention. You can tell the truth. You can tell the lie. Say anything you want to say. Are we all just lost in time?
Back in the studio. Yeah, when I went to Starbucks to get the coffee that I left, to replace the coffee that I left, I got up this morning, there was no coffee. And the coffee that I left in the loaner car from the place that was working on Mobile Podcast Command. What was I going to say? So, now I'm sitting here drinking the coffee. I had to actually buy one of those venti coffees from Starbucks, which are so expensive. Usually I make my own coffee, but I couldn't resist. I had to get something to get some coffee up in me in order to sit down and do this. And now I have it. I've drunk about half of it. So there you go. All right, let's just go ahead and run segment four of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast radio show. Welcome back. So a black swan event is a powerfully influential, history-changing event that can't be predicted. Usually the term black swan is associated with the markets, but for our purposes, we're going to apply it to history in general. With all the crazy stuff going on, it just feels like we're cruising for a bruising. You look around you and you're like, wait a minute, did we take a wrong turn? Or have you ever gone hiking and gotten lost? I always tell the story about how we went to a friend of mine in Los Angeles, and I went to this place up in the mountains in just way north of Vandenberg in California, and it was we got lost up there, and we took a couple of wrong turns. I'll tell you why. It's called Hesperia. Hesperia. Hisperia. Don't ever go there. Hesperia apparently is a place. It's a ranch or a reserve or something. Apparently, I can't tell if it's private land or what it is. But there are hot springs up in this area, and everybody goes there to go to the hot springs at Hesperia. This is a number of years ago, and she was all like, we should go and it's going to be great and blah, 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 blah. So we went up there and we ran into nothing but one weird person after another. And then we went to the hot springs, and some guy that had just gotten out of jail, showed us how to get the water, and you put mint in a bottle and blah, 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 blah. And she had this dog. And, somewhere in the conversation coming back, and by the way, I neglected to say, and I've told this story 100 times, so I apologize if you've heard it before. They give you a map when you go to the gate, and a Charles Manson-looking guy gives you this map, and it says, it shows you how to get to the hot springs. And he goes, you got to zig, and you got to zag, and you got to zig, and you got to zag. And so it's zig right, zig left, zig whatever. And of course, nobody can remember it, so they get lost back there all the time. And that's what it feels like. So we were coming back and we were following the dog. And we were talking, following the dog. And suddenly we were like, where are we? And that's exactly how it feels right now. We were like, where are we? Well, to make a long story short, you know, a couple of weeks later, she was talking to some friends in Santa Monica. They were all talking about, hey, what'd you do last weekend? And she goes, oh my God, we went up to Hesperia and we got lost and blah, 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 blah. And the guy was like, don't ever go there again. And she was like, why? And he goes, because that's where the Manson family lives and people disappear up there all the time. And I always finish the story off by telling people that there was choppers. They were looking for somebody. There was a guy's picture that was up on the wall, and there were so many weird people up there. I couldn't tell if it was California or if it was just genuinely a weird place. So this is what it feels like. Not that the whole world feels like Hesperia, but that it feels. This is what it feels like when you get off the trail and you look up and you're like, did we... where are we? Did we make a wrong turn? Or, you know, today, of course, if you have a phone, you might be lucky enough to have GPS. But this is how people end up, you know, dying. This is how people get attacked by mountain lions. This is how people end up having to call in someone to find them because they get lost doing this kind of stuff because the trail was relatively unmarked. We got out of it because I just dead reckoned where the parking lot was by... the sun and everything else. And I said, we're going that way. And we left the trail. And she was like, we can't leave the trail. You are never to leave the trail. And I was like, we leave in the trail. So we slid down this hill and went under a barbed wire fence and marched up another hill. And by this time she was, you know, telling me I was going to get assault. We're going to get killed and, you know, everything else. And we came up over a hill and there was the parking lot. And I was like, there you go. So, you know, that's the end of the story, but it does feel right now as though we are, you know, just kind of off the tracks. Some examples. It's not okay to have an opinion that disagrees with people who support Black Lives Matter. You're supposed to sit down and shut up. But it is okay to say after three men in suicide vests carrying AK-47s attack an airport in Istanbul, it's okay to say that we don't have all the facts and we don't want to rush to judgment and say that this was ISIS. That's okay, but the other thing is not okay. It feels like the end of an era and we're off the rails in our politics. Where you have a Republican candidate who is spouting trade protectionist, you know, rhetoric, and you have Republicans, establishment Republicans supporting Hillary Clinton, and you have, I mean, everything is just completely up in the air. It feels like everything is wacky. And you know, if you're paying really close attention to it, I mean, this is something that I see all these stories go by on a day-to-day basis, and I'm like, I don't really want to talk about that. No, I don't really want to talk about. No, I don't want to talk about that. No, I'm not interested in that. Oh God, I mean, this is me listening. This is what you would be hearing if you were listening to me sitting at my kitchen table. And because there's two microphones out here, I'm gonna have to wait for this plane to go over, which is a good idea actually. Yeah, if you were sitting at my kitchen table with me while I was going through the news on a day-to-day basis, that's what you'd hear. Ugh, I'm not. That's ridiculous. I'm not talking about that. I don't want to talk about that. I'm not interested in this. I'm not interested in that because it's all just nonsense. It's just, you know, it's all very reactionary. And one of the thoughts I had this weekend, and I've often talked about this as well, you know, is we are increasingly in a situation where people feel the need to advocate for a particular side. And this is, you know, I feel it too, but I'm not even sure how I feel about anything these days. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm not sure where we are going yet. And I don't have something that I can say, this is what I think is right. Because think anything's right. That's the odd sort of feeling about this. So, you know, we got off the trail and managed to get back on track by dead reckoning. How do you dead reckon in this kind of a situation? We're so poorly informed on the contours of issues before they happen that when these things happen that are often referred to as black swan events, that is unpredictable events that surprise. Not predictable events that might be surprising to some, but not others, but truly shocking events. You know, I want people to kind of think about it this 4th of July weekend when you're watching the fireworks and spending time with your family, which is really what's important, and spending time to think and taking your day, you know, enjoying your weekend off or your sort of summer break and enjoying your kids that are back from college, getting away from that constant drub of that heating up and cooling down and what this guy says about that and what this guy did and what this politician says and what this event happened and so forth. I think we're at the end of a period in history. I can't predict this event, and I don't think anybody can. I know you could be the smartest guy in the world. You can't say this is what's going to happen. Look at all the things: artificial intelligence, you know, slow economic growth worldwide, you know, high levels of corporate and sovereign debt worldwide, companies struggling to make money, and yet some companies making a huge amount of money, central banks printing money, you know, all of this weird, you know, sentiment, nationalists supposedly sentiment, and this general feeling among the electorate that something is wrong and they just want a change. They're not sure what, they're not sure why. You know, all of these political cross currents and all of these angry people on television telling people what they should do and that they need to sit down and shut up and that this one should say this, and people, you know, all this fighting and all of this just anger. And I mean, the religious person would say, yeah, it's going to be the rapture. I doubt it. You know, I'm not going to put it past that from happening. On the other hand, I watched a YouTube video the other night from some guy that says they've got holographic technology that they could easily project Jesus coming down from the heavens. I mean, who knows what they're going to come up with or what will happen. I tend to believe that those kinds of stories are apocalyptic, or apocalyptic stories are really just, you know, fairy tales, and that the real reality is things aren't, they're not on top of things as much as we would like to believe. That's all we have time for this week's installment of the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. So thanks for listening. Sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast Bobline newsletter at thebobdavispodcasts.com. For all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show.
Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping, and the cotton is high.
Thanks to you guys for listening to the Bob Davis podcasts, all 520 of them, from the page, right on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. You can also get the podcasts at Stitcher.com. If you have a Galaxy device or non-iPhone device, Stitcher works great. TuneIn works great. iTunes, blogtalkradio.com. This radio show is also available at gcnlive.com and, of course, at 4 p.m. on Sundays at AM 1280. The Patriot in Minneapolis, and new affiliates as we get them. I got to get working on that. Or get them working on that. Something's got to give on that front. Anyway, have a great 4th of July weekend. I certainly am planning to. And once again, thanks for your donations to the BobDavisPodcast.com for Mobile Podcast Command. And thanks for signing up for the Bobline newsletter, which is going to start here at the end of July. And to do that, all you have to do is just scroll down. You don't even have to scroll. It's right underneath the main masthead for mobile, for the podcast page, thebobdavispodcast.com. And you sign up for the newsletter. Again, I have to get people to sign up separately for the newsletter because I need to get your permission for me to send you this. And we're building this newsletter list, this email list. So going to be lots of cool things associated with the newsletter. Anyway, thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 520 and the radio show. Have a great 4th of July weekend.